And welcome to Telling the Tales, the podcast where we'll go through every single narrative adventure Telltale video game released during the time they were alive, and even maybe a little bit after that point. I'm your host, Mitchell Farley Wolf, and today we're going to be talking about The Walking Dead Season 4, Episode 1. Not the only host of the show. Never have been, never will be. I'm also joined by other host, Dustin Cornelius Jackson.
Is that my cue? Is that me?
Yeah, that's you. I think so.
Hello!
And we also have a third special guest today. A rare treat. Summer, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello! Thank you for having me, Dustin and Mitchell. I am Summer Jackson, little sister of Dustin Jackson, just here to talk about The Walking Dead, just because I love it so much. And Dustin introduced it to me, so I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad to have you. We've occasionally made passing references to you, I think, in the show before, because Dustin has talked about playing the earlier Walking Dead games up to this point, but not beyond this point exactly, actually, with you. So it's really cool to have your perspective on and to meet you after all this time.
Yeah, Summer's been a real champ waiting to play this until we got to it.
Yeah, but to be fair, we could have gotten to it a lot sooner, I think, Dustin.
Oh, yeah. I just thought it would have been fun to go, like, this is the only Walking Dead, I guess, besides Michonne, that I would have gone into blind.
Yeah, kind of a unique perspective for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what's interesting is that at the time that we started this podcast, this episode was only about, it was only actually less than 3 years old. And now it's approaching 6 years old. So that's how long we've been doing the podcast.
Wow.
We've turned contemporary video game into not contemporary.
I don't like that at all.
Well, that's one of the things we've done. And that video game, in its detailing, is The Walking Dead, the final season, episode 1, Done Running, released August 14th, 2018, directed by Chris Rebert and Varum Antonium. Hey, Varum! Another friend of the show.
Hey, we know that guy.
Except this time he's not on the show. Better try harder.
better luck next time. Sorry.
No, glad to see your name pop up here repeatedly. It's really cool. Designed by Jean-Francois Gastaya and Emily Grace Buck. Written by Jessica Krause, Adam Esquenazi Douglas, Mark Kenny, and Lauren Mee. A lot of returning names.
Yeah. Good to see him. Good to see him for one last hurrah.
Yeah, good to see him for one last hurrah. It's really nice that, like, there was definitely some shift from season one to season four in subtle ways, but we're largely talking about the same pool of people, if not a ship of Theseus of people, that have been responsible for the forming of Clementine's story up to this point. Speaking of... I'll start with my just very quick first impressions. It's always a joy to see Clementine again. I like seeing her. She's great to have around.
I agree. It's been a long time. I guess not that long. Well, I guess kind of long for the show too, since the last Walking Dead we did was Michonne, which had zero connection to Clementine.
Nope, the last Walking Dead we did was season 3.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. Did we do Michonne before season 3?
It came out before season 3.
Holy frick, I don't remember that at all.
Well, it's one of those things that you'll have to remember if you're ever to
so embarrassed.
Do a podcast about this podcast.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, just really nice to see characters I recognize and enjoy again after playing through Hector, Badge of Carnage, where I saw characters I did recognize.
and still did not
not enjoy it still every time. But we don't need to keep shitting on that game.
It's in the past. Never have to talk about Hector ever again.
We might have never done it.
That's true.
Yeah, so Summer, how long's it been since you played a Walking Dead game?
So I think I'm a school counselor, so during my winter break from work, my first year of being a counselor, I was kind of just sitting at home thinking, what should I do? And I didn't have a lot going on. So I went back to season 3 and replayed that. So that was about 2021. So it's been a little bit since I played, a couple years. But I would say I didn't remember a whole lot from what had happened season three. And admittedly, I didn't finish listening to your guys' recap of season three. But yeah, it's been a while and I'm excited to get back into it. And like you said, just to see Clementine again, get back into the groove, into the story. So
Yeah. Season three is a good one to replay. Before I replayed it for this podcast, I didn't remember anything about it either. And I feel like playing it a second time, I enjoyed it a lot more. I don't know why it didn't really sink in the first time I played.
Yeah, it had a pretty strong showing. I could imagine that if you were just interested in that same progressing Clementine story, it wouldn't have felt very interesting that first time.
Yeah, because Clementine's kind of a side character in season three.
Right.
But I think going into it again, knowing that already, it doesn't. You know, take away from it. Although, Mitchell, you enjoyed it as well, even just playing it for the first time, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that at least for seasons 1, 2, and 3, I do like them in decreasing order. But,
okay.
I mean, they're still pretty great compared to a lot of the other stuff we've played for the show. And yeah. They've maintained a level of quality in their storytelling all the way through. And this episode feels like a pretty solid start. I will say, I think I was expecting something more climactic, I guess, for the, like, the beginning of the end. This is what it's all leading toward. And it's really not that. It feels just like, yeah, her life still sucks. Her life still is like a big bummer.
It's just more of this.
Just more of it, though.
Yeah, I was a little worried at first since it felt like we were going to hit some of the same notes, but I feel like it did a pretty good job of having its own flavor. One thing I like, this is maybe getting a little ahead of things, but it is another, oh, we're finding another group we're going to stay with. I bet this one will totally work out. but I feel like this time it does have a unique flavor to it since this is just like a group of kids all living together. There's like no adults in charge of this. It's just all people like Clementine who are getting together to survive. So that gives it an interesting angle.
Yeah. And because they're all kids, it really, like, for the first time ever, really positions Clementine as up here with as much decision power and as much experience as anyone else in the group. She's not looked down on. She's not seen as younger or lesser or smaller. She really is just sort of like among the chief best people in the group. Still, like, she's the same age as anyone else. Maybe a little younger, maybe. But
I was going to say a little. I was going to say it seems like she's one of the older ones in the group. I mean, there's a lot of younger ones there.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if they ever said their age, but
Yeah. Summer and I were kind of discussing that when we were playing. They don't really say, like, the exact age of anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Did I say how long it's been since season three in this?
I think the only way you have to gauge that is AJ just having a... He's a bigger man now.
Yeah. He's a big boy.
Yeah. How do you all feel about AJ in this episode? Because I think that's the centralizing character here.
Summer, you want to go first?
Yeah. I mean, just right out of the gates, you can just really tell that AJ struggles being just the, you know, how young he is going through all this and just kind of isolated a lot like Clementine did, when she was the kid in the group. And, so just, I really enjoyed AJ and kind of hearing his perspective on things and, just growing up in this crazy messed up world, and I'm just excited to see kind of his character arc from the beginning to the end. But it is cool seeing him not be a helpless child, or I guess he is a child, but he's not a little baby anymore. That's just along for the ride. He has you know, skills now. He's a survivor, essentially. So I thought
he bites people.
He bites he's people. A biter.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
A prolific bitesman.
Yeah, so that
I totally agree. I think one thing that's really interesting about AJ is he is one of the only people we've seen in this story that is born post zombie apocalypse.
Right.
Like, he doesn't know anything about the world before all this. there's a scene later where, like, a kid has toys of policemen and firefighters, and AJ's like, what's that? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, and, like, Clementine starts to explain they were the first line of defense, and they all died fighting the zombie outbreak at the very beginning. And he was like, so they were weak.
It's like, damn, geez.
Yeah.
Lighten up a little.
Yeah, I mean, AJ wants stronger police. He said it. a very interesting character we see here with AJ, because he seems, in any other story, I would say, like, maybe the author does not exactly know how old this character is, because they sometimes act very mature and sometimes act incredibly immature. But I think that's the point with AJ, where a lot of the time he is just a man already at age, like, maybe 6 to 9-ish. I'm not nine. He's not 9 years old.
Between 6 and 8 somewhere.
Yeah, I, like, even that seems extreme, because that's how long it's been since season 2, and Clementine doesn't seem 6 to 8 years older than season 2 Clementine.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I wasn't sure. I was kind of trying to gauge, like, exactly how long it's been.
I'm sure
it says somewhere.
Yeah, so, in that way, he'll sometimes just, like, he'll do the thing you just said. He'll pick up a toy that someone else is playing with, and he's like, well, I've obtained it, and I've literally never had to share, so I'm not going to give it back. Thank you.
This is my toy now.
It's become mine. I don't know why he's crying about this. This is...
Does he not know how the world works?
Yeah, he should just kill me and take it back if he wants it. I don't understand.
That's how we do it.
Yeah, but then, like, other times, he's like this stone-cold tactician. Like, he understands exactly how to fight and to make it through very adverse, very difficult situations that I would probably not do that well in myself.
Yeah,
in real
me
life.
Neither.
He's a good fighter. He's kind of a good negotiator, even though he's a pretty bad conversator in a lot of ways. He's just not learning stuff in the same order as anyone else did, because
he has to learn different things.
Yeah, yeah. There was no established educational system, and his only teacher, Clementine, didn't even finish second grade or whatever.
Yeah.
How old was Clementine in season 1?
I didn't it end when she was 9? Didn't the guy, the van guy, say she's 9?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's like 4th grade. She's got a 4th grade education. That's rough.
Right. Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah. Summer, how do you think you'd do in a zombie apocalypse?
Pretty horrible. Absolutely horrible.
I feel like we're all pretty on the same page.
For starters, I hate being chased. Sorry to interrupt, but that's my number one thing, is my fear of being chased would absolutely end me immediately.
Well, I mean, if you're afraid of it,
yeah,
that seems good, actually, to me.
Yeah, that's a good instinct to run from. Maybe, someone who is chasing.
But
yeah,
feel
the
like...
first round of deaths is everyone who's not afraid of being chased.
That's how they get you.
Yeah.
I think it's like being chased to the point where I'll shut down because I'm so scared and not run and just like be like, well.
Well, this is just the way it's going to be, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've got like a huge fear of my organs coming out through any kind of attack. I don't like it. I don't want it to happen.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I need them to live.
I can see why you'd be upset about that.
Yeah. I can camp.
That is a big part of the zombie apocalypse. Yeah. Is just doing that.
I can do that relatively well.
That's good. You're already halfway done. The other part is not getting your insides taken outside.
Yeah, but like Summer said, I do not want to be chased. I hadn't thought about it in those terms before, but you're right. It would suck.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be zombies. Being chased by, like, anything right. would suck.
I don't like running forward, but running away, that's like two things.
I don't want to do any of this now. I need to do both.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Good to know. I think at this point, I would probably not be alive. Almost a 100% chance I would not be alive. Because it's got to be like 10 years after the breakout, right?
I think so. That seems about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if season 1 and 2 are like maybe 2 years apart, I thought.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and then okay, that would give about another 6 to 8 years depending on AJ's age. So it would be some time. It would be a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. At one point they actually mention, or AJ has a quote here that I've written down. This place is nice. The ranch was nice too before the blood. What was the ranch?
I wonder if they'll go into that at some point in the season, or if it's just there to be like, okay, this is what happened before this. Some bad shit went down at a ranch.
Yeah.
And now they are not there anymore.
Yeah, because at first I was thinking, like, are they trying to describe the New Frontier area as a ranch? But he wouldn't have been there, really. And
yeah,
it's not a ranch.
Yeah, they don't really go into when Clementine reunited with AJ, do they?
No, but I think you just sort of, you see the end of probably, season 3 yeah. and you're like, well, she's gonna.
Yeah, you know they reunite, that's all you really need. And then there was a ranch at some point.
Yeah. So Summer, I'm interested to hear from an outsider's perspective. Dustin and I, we talk about choice a lot and characterization, I think, probably more than anything else we talk about on the show. What do you get out of these games? What do you like to think about when you are playing a Walking Dead game?
I'm just really, really driven by the characters and just learning about the characters. Clementine has just always been a character that I've just really been drawn to. Whenever we first played The Walking Dead, I just remember being in college and making all my roommates in college play through them and getting them all excited about it and playing on my laptop on Steam. So really just learning about the characters. I like when they introduce new characters and you're like, huh, what's that guy's story? What's he all about? And you just kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's just very enthralling to get roped up into the world of, you know, the apocalypse for one, but also just these total badasses that are actually, you know, working together, well-equipped to handle these types of things, unlike us, as we've discussed. But yeah, I guess just learning about the characters, and Clementine has just always been a character I've always appreciated with learning about her story with Lee, the whole season one, and just how, just watching her story and her progression from where she started to where she is now has just been, I think, my favorite part of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you there. A lot of the characterization stuff between Lee or Kenny or Clementine, it's just been really strong the whole way through. Mm-hmm. And now I can tell they're going to go hard into that direction with AJ as well. And speaking of characters, I wanted to run this by you. I've written down the names of all of the kids at this school.
Uh-huh. There's a lot of them.
Well, not only is there a lot of them, I feel like this is the work of a writer who was very done with naming anyone like James... or Jenny.
Right.
Their kids' names are Asim, Omar, Lewis, Mitch, Willie, Violet, Tennessee, Marlon, Brody, and Ruby. Pretty good. Pretty good collection of names.
Not like the most obvious names that would come up first.
No, I feel like Lewis is the most common name And that's even not that common.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I did clock that there was a Mitch. Now, Mitch is not my name, but I have been called it. So
yeah, I used to call you Mitch until you said you preferred Mitchell.
Yeah, until I said, like, stop.
Don't do it.
It's mean. It rhymes with a rude word.
That's true.
That's not why. But yeah, good collection of names. I love a kid being introduced and like, I'm Tennessee. Like, yeah, you are. That's true.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. You were not going to be Charles. Yeah, I don't have anything else to say about that. I just thought it was interesting that this is like a very interestingly named group of kids.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
I wonder how many of them will be important and how many are Walker fodder.
Well,
because it seems like a lot of characters.
So I don't know what happened in your game, but I assume that at least the fact that two of these characters died is true for you as well.
Yeah. Yes.
I
think only two. Yes.
Yeah. Marlin and Brody.
Yeah, two deaths. Yeah.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Same for us.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think that can change. I think that's static.
I wonder, because in that, at the end when they say the status of the characters, it does have Brody and Marlin, and, you know, it does say they're dead, but I wonder if there's a way to get out of that. I would assume not.
Brody really didn't seem like it could have been changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marlin, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know about, but that seems like a pretty massive one.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like... Yeah, you're right. we should go through the episode.
That's a good idea while we're here.
We've done that on this podcast before.
Every now and then.
Yeah. You know, it's not your fault, Summer, but every time we introduce someone to the show, I'm like, I don't know how to do a show anymore.
This is different. This is off.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to throw off the feng shui.
Well, one thing I like just loading up this game is you get some really cool illustrated nice illustrated look back at the previous seasons, a nice recap.
Yeah.
Really nice drawings here.
Yeah, so it asked at the very beginning if I could import my local save or download my choices. And I said, that's the same thing. And I didn't know what it was asking.
Same.
Yeah.
Like, but when we started up, I was like, I don't know which of these.
Yeah, but downloading your choices, I suppose, would have interacted with a Telltale account that has not really worked with any of the games that we've checked except for The Expanse.
That's interesting they would still do that. Because this collection we're playing on released after Telltale.
Yeah, but not this episode.
True, true. That's true. You're right.
Yeah, so couldn't download the choices. There were none to download. So I took in the local save, and it got all of my choices from New Frontier, but it made me fill in the choices for Seasons 1 and 2.
That's interesting. When Summer and I were playing it, it was kind of like a mixed bag. Because, like, it would ask me to choose certain things, but then other things it would just know.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
yeah.
it knew that we picked Carly over Doug, but then it would ask, like, what did Lee say to Clementine before he died?
Oh, that's interesting, because it asked me to whether I picked Carly over Doug, but then it just told me that Clementine did shoot Lee.
It did tell us that Clementine shot Lee, but we got to pick what Lee said to Clementine first.
Yeah, I mean, that happened to me,
too. Yeah, it's weird.
I wonder if whether you did or didn't kill Lee was somehow saved on the New Frontier save file as well. So they could get that, but they couldn't get, like, every little thing from Season 1.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It worked out. We're able to get to where we were.
Right.
Yeah, the only problem I had with that is that I forgot what I told Clementine as Lee, so... I was making the choice again in that moment.
Clementine's like, wait, did he say this, or was it the thing about the hair?
Yeah, I said keep moving.
That's a good one.
Do you think I said that before? I bet I I might have.
You know what? For all I know, you did. That sounds right, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think I would have been... I don't think I would have said anything about her hair or staying out of cities. I may have said stay out of cities. That one feels all right, too. But
one thing I thought was very funny, even though it wasn't supposed to be in these recap illustrations, the picture they did for Lily shooting Carly right in the face made me bust out laughing.
It's
just
extreme.
The way it was drawn.
It's pretty.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God.
It's considerable. It's a considerable image. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I like that. It was a good recap, and it was. Like, as I was sitting through that, it dawned on me, these choices won't go anywhere else. This is the end. This is the end of the line.
Oh, right.
True.
Yeah. We're finally putting our save files to sleep so that they may be used again by another kid who wants to have a really bad time.
I wonder if...
Here, kid.
Sorry to interrupt. I wonder if because they are... making the choices for the final, or I guess us as the player, we are making the choices for the final time. I wonder if there'll be more endings or more, I don't know, just like more options at the end instead of just the limit.
Yeah, that's true. If this is the very last season, they could really go anywhere with how it ends.
Right.
Yeah, they could have like, they could even have Clementine live or die, or maybe get cloned and there's two Clementines and they won't have to worry about picking it up later.
Yeah, they could just be like, well, if one of you dies, that's okay then.
They can make an agreement with each other that, like, they don't care if only one of us dies, but they do care if both of us die.
Yeah, then that makes it a little harder.
If you met your clone, would you kill him?
No. Well, it would depend. Are they, like, gonna rise up against me and try to be the original?
How would you know?
I guess that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I would never have done it if not for all of the media about clones being like, you gotta kill him. I wouldn't have ever come to that conclusion my own. That's a silly thing to do.
I'd make my clone get a tattoo so we can be like, you are the clone one.
But... like, your clone will have that thought, so they'll, be, like, they'll have all your thoughts up to the point where you were cloned. So now they'll try to get you a tattoo that says you're the clone one.
We'll get matching tattoos and forget why we did this.
One says, I'm a clone, and the other says, I'm a stupid. okay, so AJ is he looks kindergarten-ish, maybe a little older, but still pretty young. And they introduce him in a wild scene where he's just like revolving the revolver on a gun, and just playing with a gun. And Clementine looks at him and is like, "You play with that gun," and doesn't seem to mind. This is just a normal part of living.
This is what world is now.
Yeah. How do you feel about AJ having a gun?
I mean, I guess he needs it. Clementine needed a gun when she was just a wee child. It sucks that it's the kind of world where a child needs to have a gun, but I guess it's better than not having one.
He is pretty young, though, like younger than Clementine was, right? Or maybe yeah. About the same age.
Yeah, he was. He is.
Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, in a world where you have to shoot to survive, it's better to start him as early as you can.
Yeah, I guess Clementine was almost a tween. So if you can picture Lizzie McGuire with a gun... it's the same rules, but AJ is almost a toddler, but on the other end, so if you can picture Tommy Pickles with a gun, you know,
that would be great.
How do you feel about that? That he's probably going to shoot someone.
Yeah, he says, hang on to your diapers, babies, we're going in.
Tommy Pickles wouldn't live a single... new day of his life if he was given a gun.
That's true.
Yeah, it's just true.
Yeah, there's no joke to that. That's just
this
the
podcast
way
doesn't
be.
Hold back from the hard truths.
Yeah, sorry.
So AJ, Clementine, they're trying to look for food. They find a rest stop. There's a
very... It's at the train station, right?
Yeah, it's at the train station. There's sort of a tug at your heartstring style moment where there's a dead couple who have been turned into walkers, and you need to decide whether or not you want to get the key off of their belt, but you'd have to kill them in order to do that, which... maybe that's okay because they're walkers, but they have left a note that says, we want this, we want to be this way. So you need to decide whether or not you want to honor their last wishes. What did you all do?
Yeah. So Summer and I were discussing it before we made our choice.
That's fun.
Yeah. That's part of the fun of playing together. We can kind of talk it out. At first, I was thinking of just leaving them alone, because I didn't want... Well, I'm thinking about, like, what... Anything I do will be seen by AJ,
yeah.
And it'll affect how he feels. Like, even the game tells you AJ is always listening.
They at one point put the words, your choices determine what he will become, on the screen.
Yeah.
That's a serious thing.
Yeah. So at first I didn't want to kill him just because I was like, well, we should have some humanity. We should, you know, if we don't have to kill, we shouldn't. But Summer, you said we should kill him, and then I ended up agreeing with you.
Yeah, sorry, Dustin.
No, I totally agree. Just the more I thought about it, they're walkers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if you want to be left alone. You're not going to kill me or my son.
Yeah. And the other part of that is, like, Clementine, as a wee one, she was often, ordered to, here, kid, jump through this window. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
because that's what the other choice was.
Yeah.
Have AJ go through the ticket booth.
Yeah. And so just kind of thinking about that, I'm like, well, they're dead already. They're walkers. Who cares if they wanted this, whatever that means. They didn't even really...
They shouldn't want to become walkers. That puts everyone else... Do you know how you're screwing everyone else over by doing this?
Exactly.
Yeah. Why? Like, do exactly what you're going to do, but take the key off your lapel. Take the key off. What are you doing?
You went out of your way to make this difficult for us.
Exactly.
You set up a weird puzzle dungeon in your death. Like, I don't have much respect for that. You're driving me out of safety here.
This would be a great opening for a video game.
What a grift I'm pulling.
I had the same thought. I think what I wanted to teach AJ in that moment with the choice, which is kind of what all the choices have become in this game. What do you want to teach AJ? It was about, like, what this couple wants is dignity. They wanted to choose how to end. And dignity is just not afforded to anyone alive or dead anymore, at all, anywhere. That's kind of the point of the whole deal. If you can put that aside, you can accomplish amazing things. And
that's true.
Yeah, the worry was that, like, is AJ going to see this as devaluing human life?
Yeah.
And by the end of the episode, maybe yes. maybe that is what happened, but it's hard to say. Ooh. I really did not want to just send AJ into a dark unknown space because he could fit, because that's just that's not actually a good strategic decision.
That never works.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what Summer said too, just thinking back to the season 2 scene where Clementine goes into the ticket booth there and then immediate walker.
Yeah, they wouldn't do this, but I almost get the impression, like, if I open the door regularly, there's no walker, and if I go through the hole, there is a walker in there. That feels like how it is. I don't think they actually do that, but, like, that feels like how this game is played at this point.
Right.
You find in that special room, there's a stock of food. You try to collect it, but it's rigged with a grenade, which...
Insane.
Is an insane thing. Yeah, you're right. It doesn't make sense. I think this is actually a weakness of the episode. The fact that anyone did this or, like, relies on this to be an important plot piece. Crazy. How were they going to get the food?
Yeah, who benefits from this?
Yeah, no, just a silly, stupid thing. But it explodes, which summon a bunch of walkers, which Clementine tries to drive away from. By the way, Clementine can drive. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's interesting, since I think one of the endings of season... not one of the endings of season two, but I think if you leave Kenny alive... her flashback in season three has her learning to drive from him.
Oh, that's cool.
So now we don't know how she learned then.
Yeah, she just kind of picked it up, I guess.
I bet Javi told her how to do it.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
I forgot that name until literally right now.
If you promised me $1 million if I could name the season three protagonist, I would not have guessed it.
Javi, Kate, Gabe, and
look
Mariella.
At you. You got all.
Mariana?
Mariana.
Mariana.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I got first time.
Wow. You killed it.
Is there a Hector in there?
No, that's Hector, Badge of Carnage.
I bet there's a Hector somewhere. And then they total the car and they're rescued by an unseen... figure, and then that's sort of like the cold open of the episode. They roll the credits at that point. Mm-hmm. And at that
really point, cool opening credits.
Really cool opening credits for sure. A cool opening sequence in general, but I was put into a position of, like, before playing it, I was very excited, like, yeah, I'm gonna play some more Walking Dead again. Great. And then as I was playing, I was like, oh yeah, this sucks to do this.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. It's like, I love this, and also it is not a good time.
Yeah, it's a great bad time.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it.
Yeah. Do you recommend this game to people?
Yeah, I mean, Summer, you were just saying you recommended this to, like, all your friends in college.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
And I made my boyfriend play last night, so...
Yeah.
Does your boyfriend have experience with the series before this point?
Not really. He played the first game, I think, I want to say, but a long time ago. And yeah, nothing since then.
You know, as important as I think that moment with Kenny at the end of season two is, I also think you can kind of just play the first season and the last season, which is kind of...
I was thinking
well
that too.
Designed, I guess. I would like the seasons two and three stuff to matter more, but I guess they kind of don't.
I guess AJ in season two, but I think having that recap at the beginning just tells you, look, Clementine's taking care of this kid.
Yeah. Like you travel with a woman, a pregnant woman for a while, and then she dies, but the baby lives and you take care of it is.
Yeah.
Basically all you need to know, like the parents were never that major of characters in season two, but
that's what I was saying. I was saying like Alvin, I liked Alvin now, but he wasn't like that big a factor. yeah
The fact that, like, our main character's name is Alvin Jr. and we did know Alvin but he was not important is kind of interesting. I mean, he was relatively important, but he was not one of the main characters at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then you wake up and you're in a school. You're taken to a school, and it's kids from Erickson's boarding school for troubled youth.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. You would never say troubled youth in the name of the thing. You would never say that. That's crazy.
It's pretty fitting now. I'd say they're all pretty troubled at this point.
Yeah, it's like that. I think there's like a trope of calling something a school for wayward boys, like that phrase. But it has to be. It can't be from anything. You can't have called it that. It's mean to the boys.
Yeah, how are the boys gonna feel?
Yeah, like they'll have graduated from the school for wayward boys for the rest of their life. They have to answer that question if people ask.
Yeah, if that's on like a resume or something, they have to check the little box that says wayward.
Yeah, and then the entire episode sort of takes place in the school. They have like a little forest outside where they hunt and fish, and one person's job is playing the piano.
Don't get me fucking started on that piano.
Oh my god, did this happen to you too?
Oh, you better believe it.
It broke the whole scene.
Yeah, it broke a lot of the game. Well, no, it ended up fixing itself, but, oh, man. I was, the whole time, that piano was blaring.
So loud.
And his fingers were not on the piano, even playing it.
Yeah, because at first, he was just sort of sitting in front of the piano, and I go, oh, he's having a full conversation while playing. That's, he's pretty great. But then they show his hands, and he's like, both of his hands are on his thighs, like, oh, it's broken.
Oh, he's not even touching the keys. He's really good at playing piano.
At my parents' house, there's a grand piano, and we've installed a player piano into it. Have you seen one of those?
Mm-mm.
I think so. Just something that like plays on its own.
Yeah, it has affixed servos to all the keys so that it can read a MIDI file off of a floppy disk because it was made in the 80s. And just
that's pretty I never even heard, even for like just the 80s, that's pretty like,
yeah, it might have been progressive, the 90s. I guess have been the 90s, but
it's still pretty like I guess not forward thinking since it used floppy disks, but for yeah. A piano back then, it's still interesting.
Yeah, I think it's probably among the highest fidelity file types that a piano has ever read.
That's true. It's at least in the top five.
Yeah. So we had a player piano, and I was watching him not play it, and I was like, does he have a fucking player piano? Are they pumping electricity into this? This is such a waste. And then I realized, no, the much more reasonable thing to assume is that the game is broken, and they just keep playing the piano the whole time. Over all other songs and everything, it sucks.
I was going crazy with this piano. I was desperately searching like Reddits for people who had solutions, and every response was, yeah, no, there's no fix.
That just is what the game the is. Is.
Yeah, sorry.
Damn, that's terrible.
although, so Summer, you were playing it with your boyfriend last night. You were not playing on the collection we played it on. Were you just playing the standalone season?
Yeah, I just downloaded it with Game Pass and played it on my Xbox.
And it worked normal, right?
It did.
The piano did not have that. Yeah, so it's just an issue with this complete collection.
Interesting.
Which otherwise is a pretty great collection, but then we have this.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's worth going over every little plot point that happens in this school, but generally what happens is that they were just taken in by mostly nice people, mostly good folks that are trying their best, are kids, so like Clementine is not much younger than them or older than, like around the same age, and they always do it. They always know how to trick you, but it feels like the first time in her whole travels that, like, yeah, if they don't pull some bullshit backstory, and they do, she could live here. Like, this feels stable. This feels safe.
Yeah, you know what? Things are gonna be okay.
Yeah, they pull it. They do pull it. But they get pretty far into this episode without doing it, making me think, like, oh, if there's any more problems, it's going to come from within Clementine and AJ. But no, they have a dark backstory.
Yeah, and shit goes south pretty fast. I guess not very fast. It does take a while to get there. Summer and I were both like, when is it going to happen? Mm-hmm. When is the shoe going to drop?
Yeah, how do you feel about Marlin?
Quite a head of hair on this guy.
He looks exactly like Henry Bowers from It.
Henry Bowers? I'm going to look that up. From the new It movie?
Yeah, the live action It. Well, I guess there is only live action. There's nothing else. But the new ones, yeah.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, he really does.
I could not get that out of my brain, that whole first episode.
So that came out one year before this game.
Oh, really?
So you think that's intentional?
Could be.
No, but it's still interesting. It's something to say at the very least.
Yeah.
Anyways, I just had to say
that. It is. Oh yeah, it air is crazy. It was very distracting every time he's on screen. One thing I thought was very funny about him. So it seems like Clementine and Lewis is his name, the guy who is playing the piano. It seems like some sparks might be flying between them. You know, something could happen between them. But it seems like Marlon. It struck me as Marlon also wanted to get together with Clementine, so every time he would be like, yeah, you know, Lewis, he kind of sucks, yeah. But, you know, I watch out for him. He's always playing that piano, but, you know, I'm pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah, he's got a bad case of dumbass, but I can say that because he's my best friend.
Yeah, you know, who knows if he'll even show up to the hunt, but, you know, we tolerate him.
Yeah, so I was noticing that they were kind of putting up Clementine and Lewis as a little bit of a pair, but they were also kind of putting up Clementine and Violet in both ways. And
I could see that.
I don't know if there's anything outside of Gabe that we've established with Clementine's sexuality. She's been quite young up to this point.
Yeah, and even when we did season 3, we were saying, like, I don't buy that Clementine would be into Gabe.
Well, we were...
It seems like she's just kind of humoring him.
Well, it seemed that way, but then, like, near the end, I felt differently at the end of season 3. Where, like... I think it was more like Clementine saw something that was possible with Gabe, and also that he was currently a huge goober. but, like, maybe they can get somewhere with Gabe.
Yeah, not so much with what happens to Gabe, but...
Yeah, and if she was looking for that, maybe that would be an indication that she is straight, or at least bi or pan. And... Mm-hmm. But like, we didn't have any idea of like, in which direction that would go, or even if that was really the case. And I think now it is also giving Clementine two potential... gendered interests again.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it goes going forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how Clementine's never had to be in a situation like this really before.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. There was that thing with Gabe, but like, she was just a child when this all happened. It's having a romantic interest in someone just seems like it would not be that important these days.
It would be pretty high on the list of things that you gotta not prioritize over your own survival.
Yeah, I mean, look at Jane and
Luke.
Luke, was it? Yeah, Luke.
Yeah, well, I think in season 2 there was also kind of that, like, not actually romantic because of the extreme age difference, but there was that thing where, like, Clementine as a young girl was hanging out with this guy, Luke, and like looking up to him, and probably, like, I think you could read some sort of like childhood idolization of a much older friend.
Right.
Which to the young kid might be somewhat sexual in terms of how they've explored their own relationship with sex up to that point, which is minimal, right? But to the older kids,
just having
like
a little crush on someone,
yeah, just like a friend's big brother or sister kind of crush,
right? Exactly.
Yeah. So like going from completely nothing in season 1 to that, which is almost also nothing in season 2, to having an almost relationship in season 3, like now we're it's her journey into being a person. And it's a reminder of how horrifying it is that she started being a mother so young when she's only getting into, like, potential relationships now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that does suck.
Yeah. Yeah. A bummer. But, like, what a nice little thing she's found. It felt like the only actual good thing to ever happen to Clementine until the end of the episode, where it turned out that it was business as usual.
Yeah, just nothing good can last in this series.
Yeah. Summer, would you, if you were Clementine, would you stay here?
I hadn't really thought about that. I mean...
Let's say he's asking this question before things go south at the end.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's hard for me to imagine. I don't have any kids of my own, but just thinking about Clementine's number one goal of keep AJ safe. I mean, there's food there, there's walls, there's a bed, there's everything you could ever want. I was telling Dustin, though.
It's pretty big, too.
Yeah. I was telling Dustin yesterday, though, I would still kind of be, like, on guard a little bit. Like, for instance, when AJ's going to sleep, like, I would probably not go to sleep. I don't know. I would probably just sleep with one eye open, kind of be really extremely cautious about everything.
Right. You still don't know these people.
Exactly. So I think I would do it, but I would do it very cautiously.
It is nice that the room is nested so far deeply into the school, though. Like, they show you that big hallway with a bunch of doors leading in and out of that hallway. So you need to go through, like, four sets of doorways in order to get to Clem and AJ's room. Which, it's good that they show you that, because I think without that, you would not feel safe that a walker could just come in through the door.
Right, you're kind of smack dab in the middle. Yeah. So if something goes wrong, you'll have like plenty of warning.
Yeah.
One thing I liked about this school, I really like that it kind of gives the kids a little levity. Like they're able to like write all over the walls, vandalize everything. One just says "fuck you."
Yeah, but then it's crossed not, out.
That's not clever or creative, but. It they can do it, and I feel like in a zombie apocalypse that does it would help them a little bit.
One just says "fuck you," but like it's crossed out as if someone saw that and was like, "No, it's not. Let's not be those guys.
Come on, grow up."
We've got a little bit of a reputation to prioritize here.
I really like the they have like the diplomas of the professors who used to work there, and someone wrote Professor of ass, and then it's like, good job,
dude. That rules. That is a good job.
Classic.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that one out. I didn't see that one. Yeah, yeah. This is just it feels very, very, very close to self-sustaining. It's not quite right. Like their food supply is dwindling, but. They do have some rabbits and fish coming in.
It's at least in terms of like everything else, it really is not that bad. It could be worse.
They literally have somebody named Chef Omar there, so you gotta assume
yeah.
that the food's coming in.
Yeah, they can afford to have one person there whose job is only cooking and not hunting it and then bringing it back and then also being the cook. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
If I were Omar, I would feel like I lucked out on getting that position.
Yes!
Yeah, I don't have to go outside.
I get to just stay here and do the cooking part.
Yeah, and it, like for a while, it feels like this really nice just collection of little social structures. Like you've got Brody who wants to be better friends with Violet, even though they have bad blood between them. And she's talking about, like, maybe we should go on a road trip at some point. Or just other things like that. Well, I should mention, at one point you're given the choice to either go with Violet and Brody while they catch fish, or Asim and Lewis while they catch rabbits. And I went with Brody and Violet. What did you all do?
That's what we did as well.
Okay, yeah. So we don't know. But
yeah. I'm sure it would have been great.
I bet it's a top tier scene. Second only to
we'll
the one
know.
We saw.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I really like that they take the time to let you get to know at least some of them, like Violet, Brody. You know, some of the kids fall into the background. Mm-hmm. Omar does not have to. Omar's the chef, but that means you probably won't be interacting with him very much. But I think if you're going to have a cast of kids this big, I'm glad I get to at least get to know a good chunk of them.
Yeah, what's also interesting is that at around this time, Telltale was co-developing, not co-developing, also in development is how I should say this, a Stranger Things game. And it was actually pretty far along before it was canceled. It would have been maybe their next game after this one.
Oh,
and, that sucks. The Stranger Things
Summer's
game.
Yeah, Summer's a big Stranger Things fan.
Oh, are you?
So
oh, for sure.
Disappointing.
Yeah, I felt a lot of that vibe come out in this cast of kids as well. Like, this was something they mm-hmm. were... This was an aspect of storytelling they were excited about in more than just that one game, because it's really coming out here, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm glad they at least got to do that with this.
Yeah. So, yeah, Summer, is there anything else you want to talk about before we talk about, like, how the episode kind of resolves?
Let me look at my notes. I actually took notes. My mom gave me a notepad because Dustin was taking notes on us.
I was there. I saw. I witnessed.
Something I wanted to talk about was on the fishing trip. Dustin and I were talking about how it kind of had the feel of going fishing with Pete in season two, I want to say. Mm. Yeah, season
mm-hmm.
two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just kind of a nice little outdoorsy vibe, and I liked that. And it kind of... Dustin and I were talking about how there were certain things that kind of felt like callbacks to certain seasons.
Yeah, like the whole first episode starting in a car.
Right.
Kind of like how season one first started. And there were just like little things here and there that made me go, oh, that's kind of similar to this other thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was both similar to the season one starting in a car, but also like season three being the car season.
Yeah.
I felt like Javi's whole family being there in the car was a pretty significant piece of iconography for the show. And now you've got... like that scene where you need to choose what to give AJ when he's hungry, even though there's really nothing to give.
Right.
Yeah, that felt like a Javi and Kate kind of moment.
Mm-hmm. Kate was not so good at cars.
No, it felt like a Javi moment. Kate would have been like, it's been a long time since I got fucked, Javi. And then...
Jeez.
Yeah. That's her whole deal the whole time.
That's true. That is what she's all about.
Yeah.
It's very... What a coincidence that the only things in the car when AJ is starving are things that have to do with food.
Yeah.
There's the broccoli toy and then a cooking magazine.
Yeah, and I was noticing as they were going through that cooking magazine, like, how many of those kinds of cooking and techniques within cooking are just not existent anymore. Like, broil cream in a saucepan. I don't think you're getting cream again ever.
Yeah.
A saucepan itself, I don't know. Maybe you'll find one, but...
It would not be high up on your list of priorities of things to grab.
Yeah, you would want a pot to cook almost everything, and then...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing we should talk about is how the mood is kind of down at this school because you find out, or at least you're told, that Tennessee's twin sisters had been killed by walkers.
Yeah, and that does sort of, it's presented at first like it's just backstory for how the tone of the place is kind of developed, but then you find out that it is more important than that.
Yeah,
it's filtered into how the episode ends, because Clementine and AJ, when they were at that train station, they noticed all that food before the explosion. So they're able to tell the others in this group, like, hey, there's a pretty big stash of food around. It's worth checking out. And they do check it out. And while they're there, they're cornered by this guy named Abel. And Abel is, what a character design.
He's hungry as hell.
Yeah, he walks he makes in sure to tell smoking you. A cigarette that he's wrapped in the page of a Bible. And he's got this coat that is ridiculous. And he goes, oh, I'm just a hungry guy. I just need some food. But you're at gunpoint, so I can get it. And
it would be so easy.
It would be so easy for me to kill you. I love this character design, actually. It's It's way too much.
He really makes an impression.
Yeah, I think it's like clearly way too much. They went way too hard on this character design, but I like it.
Yeah, totally.
I also felt that way a little bit about Lewis's character design, but in a just like, wow, this is a really strong character design. His jacket's quite good, and his hair is very, it's dreadlocks, but they flow in a way that is just very iconic to that character now. His silhouette's mm-hmm. really good, good character design.
Mm-hmm.
Summer and I were saying just how good this season looks so far in general.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is the first one made with that graphic black setting in mind.
Yeah, and it
boy, it really works.
You can tell that it's the only one that was made with it in mind as well.
Yeah, because it's the one that looks good.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the best looking Walking Dead game.
Yeah, totally.
Despite the fact for the other ones, I would turn graphic black off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's a moment where you go fishing and just the stream, like, why does the water look like that? It's so good. And then the rest of the game is like pretty good. But then like that stream is amazing looking.
They had really good stream guys.
Yeah, they had really great stream guys.
Yeah, I mean, I just think about the early Telltale stuff, like season one of Sam and Max. I like it, but I would not call those like necessarily very good looking games. And then we get to this and it's like, oh, this looks great.
Yeah, those early Sam and Max stuff, it's really carried by its strong aesthetic design without...
Yeah, the style works with it, but I would not call it like a particularly like graphically very good game.
No, and that's probably why the Skunk Ape remasters of Sam and Max have been just such a good thing to look at, because the style was always there, but now it can shine.
Yeah, totally.
Sorry, but Abel, he corners you as you're trying to, you and AJ are getting all the food out of there. AJ's got him at gunpoint, which is cool. it's conflicting, feels conflicting. And you have to decide what to do.
Yeah, like, he shouldn't be doing this, but I like that he is.
What do you all do with Abel in that moment?
This is another one where Summer and I kind of had to talk it out.
And we disagreed, I think.
Yeah, I think we disagreed. I decided to just let him have some food.
Okay.
Because, like, he just wanted, like, a little bit. He didn't want to take... He even says, like, I'm just going to take a little bit. He didn't even want all of it. And I do agree with what Clementine says to AJ later. She says, we need to pick the right times for a fight, and that was not the right time to fight and, like, shoot people.
Hmm. Well, that's not what she said in my case.
What did you say?
So, my thought was, so there's, like, three ways to go through it. You can do what you did, or you can have Clementine tackle him, or... You can let AJ kind of shoot him, I guess.
Right.
I don't know what that is, because I did Clementine tackling him.
Which is what I did.
My thought
as well.
Was, yeah, like, yeah, I just couldn't imagine getting out of that situation. I had not been trained to think this is fine by the other games in the series. But I also, like, I really did not want AJ to have to shoot a person.
Yeah. That was definitely the... one of those choices I made sure I didn't want to do.
Yeah, so I tackled him, which pushes him into the window, and walkers sort of grab him and then eat him at that point.
Mm-hmm. So what does Clem say to AJ later?
I don't remember. It was like, nice.
Maybe it didn't come up, because
it was like,
for
nice.
Us, good job. Yeah, because for us, later on, AJ disagrees. AJ says, we shouldn't have let him go, because that's a sign of weakness. And yeah, then Clementine says, like, you just need to know when it's worth picking a fight. And I did agree, because he, first of all, that's not our food. He's just as entitled to that food, too. And he was saying he only wanted a little bit of it. It's not like... this is our food at our camp and he's trying to steal it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. And if he offered to lower his weapon
mm-hmm.
and discuss that, I would have given him some food. But he's got my AJ at gunpoint. It's not going to fly.
Yeah.
It's just not going to fly.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, you get the food. You actually get it, which is like a first in this series when they go for food and they get it.
Yeah, it just actually works out.
It works out, actually. And they go back to the they go back to the school, divvy up the food, everyone's having a good time, but then they have to talk about the fact, like, yeah, there was this guy, Abel, and he ate Bibles, I guess, I don't know. And
it was a little weird.
He's smoking the word of God, and we did have to push him into some walkers. And they don't love that. Mainly Brody almost has a full-on panic attack about hearing this. But you don't understand why quite yet. It just seems like she's upset at a decision you made.
Right.
But later on, you hear some arguing happening in the basement. You go down, and it's just you as Clem and Brody and Marlin. And Marlin's saying, like, you need to not tell anyone about our dark secret.
Our dark secret that anyone listening could find out about.
Yeah. We need to yell it, but not talk about it directly to anyone.
Yeah, if you don't want people to know, maybe you should whisper it.
Brody goes on to tell Clementine that this is an established band of raiders that they know of. I guess they all smoke the word of God and are identifiable right in that way. And when they encroached on their territory before, Marlin traded Tennessee's two sisters, Sophie and Minerva, to the Raider just to have them.
Isn't that just too fucked?
It's pretty fucked, Marlin.
It's not great. Not a good look for you. And I already did not like you and your hair.
Yeah, I mean,
this is strike two.
You're just saying have some girls. It's pretty not good, actually.
Yeah. And yeah, he ends up killing Brody, which sucks.
Yeah, he sort of domes her with a big old flashlight.
Such a bummer, boy. I guess I'm used to it with The Walking Dead, but boy, just not a fun scene.
Yeah, and you know what? I actually do kind of take umbrage with this characterization with Marlin, because what I kind of expected Marlin to be bad, if I can be honest, but it was fine. It's fine to
right. One
to
of them
see
has
that
to
coming,
be the bad one.
But right. I did see it coming. What I didn't see coming was, like, oh, not only has he fully been involved in human trafficking, he gets angry enough and wanting to protect his secrets that he will just kill his friend straight up without much help at all. Like, if Clementine wasn't there, if she didn't even show up that day, this still would have happened. And that just because of how angry of a guy Marlin is. So, like, there's right. not much of a subtle decline into him being a bad guy. It's like, nope, he's just instantly a really bad, irredeemable person right away.
Well, I mean, I get that, but I get where you're coming from, but it just seems like he is not, like, he doesn't want to be a bad person. He was saying, like, I made a mistake doing this. I was hoping we could, like, do a rescue and it would be fine and it would be cool. And that is not the way it went down. So
I believe that. I believe that. But I also think that he just killed his friend Brody because he disagreed with her in that moment. Like, he just murdered a friend because like, it was getting a little too hot.
He does say he didn't mean to, but I guess that's irrelevant after you did it.
It's hard to not mean to when it's like, if there was a fight already and maybe she threw the first punch or something, and then, like, it rose to that tension, but there wasn't a fight. He just, like, made the first swing, and then that it immediately killed her.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, I was hoping for more murder defense from you on this episode, Dustin.
you know what? I have the hot takes here. I'll say it. I don't think murder is very good.
All right.
And we'll see how the voters feel about it.
Well, try to get on Jimmy Fallon with that kind of piss poor personality, Dustin. We'll see if it works out for you.
That's true.
Yeah, so Marlin, not too happy about the fact that he just killed Brody, runs out to the courtyard, tries to lock Clementine in there with Brody's body, which turns into a walker, and Clementine does have to kind of smush it, which is gross and sad.
Yeah, sucks. But sad. I felt very bad.
She doesn't stay stuck for very long. When she gets out, Marlin's in the courtyard yelling at everyone, saying Clementine killed Brody. It is not very hard for Clementine to convince everyone else, like, he's lying to you. This is not true.
Yeah, especially since he's, like, panicking the whole time. He's the one at, like, the full, like, Clem's just like, no, actually, you did it, bro. And he's like, no, you.
Yeah. How did you all handle this confrontation? Because it can go a lot of different ways, I think.
Summer, you want to handle this one?
Well,
it didn't go great.
Not the first time. It was actually really. You made that choice so fast, Dustin, to attack him.
Yeah, I thought I'll attack him and see how that goes. And it turns out he shoots you in the head, and then
immediately.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Immediately.
Yeah. Wow. If you choose attack him, you do not get very far because he has a gun.
Well, in the game's defense, Dustin, that was pretty stupid.
yeah, no, I agree. Immediately, I was like, oh, I shouldn't have done that, I guess.
Yeah, so that's how we handled it the first time. But what did we decide after that, Dustin? What was the choice, or what was the... I know we talked him down, but, like, what were the things...
You kind of out him as giving up the two sisters.
Right.
It's like, if you kill me, you won't have me to trade did with the two twins we discussed earlier. And then everyone's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And you kind of get him to admit it. Like, at first he's like, nuh-uh, she's lying, she's a liar is what she is. But then eventually the tension just gets to him and he starts just, you know, spilling it all.
Yeah, he goes from denial to excuses. Like, no, I had to trade the sisters, which means you did trade the sisters.
Yeah, that's actually a bad plan of his.
Yeah, actually, that's a common police interrogation strategy of, like, make them on the back foot of, like, telling them that they had all these other ways out. And then the person says, no, I didn't have all these ways out. I had to kill him.
Oh, it's no. Like, ah, see, we got you. No.
Yeah.
Better luck next time.
Yeah, he's freaking out at this point. You have the choice to ask either Violet or Lewis for help in this moment. Mm-hmm. And you try to appeal to them for their trust. I appealed to Violet's trust and got it.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page there because we went on the fishing trip with Violet, so it just made sense to appeal to her. You had more time with her.
Yeah, like earlier in that same day, Lewis, after being like a nice jokey guy for a while, he was just really upset when the traps were... all the rabbits in the traps were stolen by Abel at some point, I guess, before you show up. So he was, like, actually pretty mad. So I'm like, I don't want to. It would have been you, Lewis, but now you're being weird.
You're being weird about this, man. You're... Violet and I had a conversation earlier.
So. You're not the old Lewis I knew.
Yeah, where's the Lewis who magically played the piano without touching the keys?
Yeah. So I just wanted to just get her on Clementine's side, and she was pretty amenable to that. You just had to tell her that you can smell bullshit, Violet. I know this about you, and I wondered, does Clementine know this, or is this just something Clementine's saying?
I mean, it is good. You don't want to be like, well, I don't want to sound like I don't know bullshit.
I just don't know why this is a me thing specifically.
Did I give vibes that said I could detect bullshit?
I wonder if there's been some bullshit and I didn't detect it, but they thought I did.
But at first she did not side with us. It took a little convincing because at first she's like, Clementine, you just got here. I really don't know you that well, and I've known this guy for at least a little longer. But then she ended up coming to our aid. She, like, stood in front of us and was like, Marlin, I don't think so.
Yeah, so it all goes actually pretty well for defusing the situation. Clementine is not... It's not her first rodeo at this kind of thing, talking a murderous right. person down and trying to get the community on your side. This is something she's done before a lot, and it's going quite well. Until the person who has had no experience doing this, which is AJ, decides to just shoot Marlin in the head as they're sort of talking about his options.
Yeah. What a shock.
Yeah.
I was telling Summer, it like, obviously not what they were going for, but it really played out like a sitcom joke. Because, like, he shoots Marlin, and then everyone gasps and turns to AJ, and he's like, what? You said always aim for the head. And
yeah.
I could just imagine, like, a studio laugh track after.
Well, that's based on one of your choices that you made, because you can also tell him earlier, like, never hesitate or don't make rash decisions. If you told him maybe we should not make rash decisions. Oops.
In retrospect, yeah, that feels like it might have helped in that specific situation.
Actually, hang on. You know what? This calls for a Google.
Are you going to look it up?
I'm going to look up if you can not kill Marlin.
Okay. Because I kind of feel like if they tell you the status of a character at the end, that seems like something where you should be able to get a different outcome. But that just seems like such a huge one.
Right, but it could be like one of those things where, oh, he didn't die in this situation, but he'll die in a different way.
Yeah, like what's it, like Nick in season 2?
Yeah. Not saying that that's what happens.
He didn't die here.
But they've done that before.
He didn't die here, but he won't be saying anything or doing anything, and then he will show up dead off screen.
Yeah, so I'm on the Telltale Games fandom page for Marlin. And it does appear that AJ shoots him dead no matter what.
No matter what? Okay.
And in the trivia section, it says Marlin claims to have eaten slugs at some point.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
You know what? I bet if he told AJ that, he wouldn't have shot him. He would have been like, I can't shoot this guy. He ate slugs. That's
if
cool.
I put a hole in him, the slugs will come out.
The slugs will come out and get all of us.
Sometimes if you eat slugs, the slugs kill you. Did you know that?
Ooh, oh my goodness.
True. Yeah, that's one of them venomous poisonous dichotomies, huh?
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, so that's the end of episode 1 of the final season of The Walking Dead. AJ, your steward, the person you're trying to form into the best version of himself possible, has become a murderer. And
yeah, so not off to a great start.
You have to sit with that, and you have to really still be his mom after this point. I guess that's going to be the next 3 episodes. Just like, how do you handle the fact that you had to just kill someone at such a young age while trying to not become desensitized to that fact, nor while trying to just revel in it until you become too dark and despondent to live your own life? I don't know. I've never killed a guy, actually.
I haven't either. I don't know what it's like.
there was a comedian on some podcast at some point who said, like, I've got a friend who told me he killed a guy, and he killed him by drowning him. And I asked him how it was, and he said it was the most relaxing thing he's ever done. And then I said, I don't have that like friend that. Anymore.
That's yeah, that makes sense.
What a thing to say.
Jeez.
Yeah. Relaxing.
That's actually what AJ says at the end of the episode.
That's
well, I feel really bad about it, but it was the most relaxing thing I've ever done. Oh, man.
Oh, good.
Okay, so, yeah, I thought it was a pretty strong start to the season.
I feel like it was a pretty strong start, and I feel like it could have not been a strong start at any point. Like, we talked about before with like season three, how it just kind of felt like they were ticking off some of the boxes on a checklist at some point. It's like, you find a new community you stay with. This episode's going to have a walker attack. Something's going to go wrong, et cetera, et cetera. And this one, you know, it still has some of that, but I feel like it's doing it in a way that at least feels a little different. So I'm not bothered by it. At least not yet. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I wonder what it is about this universe in combination with Telltale Games, because, like, I don't really like the show. Summer, you ever watch the show?
Never.
It's not the same. It's not like it.
Yeah.
And we had just finished playing, like, Minecraft Season 2 and Batman Season 2 before this. And I think both of those games were pretty good. But there is something about going back to the Walking Dead universe where, like, in one episode, it feels almost effortless. They can just arrive at these really, really strong choice points and storytelling techniques that are unique to this series within Telltale's history. And they just knock it out of the park. Even with this episode, like, I think it was, like, maybe just an okay way to start a season. But it still feels so strong in the world that I'm in and the way these characters are interacting and my desire to see the story through that I couldn't possibly complain about it. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I think one thought I had was it seems like a pretty uneventful episode for the most part. Like, it kind of reminds me of season 2, episode 1, where it's just establishing you in a new spot.
Yeah.
And, like, not a whole lot goes wrong. There's really only the one scene with, like, walkers. Well, there's the one at the beginning and the one kind of in the middle where you're getting the food. But they never feel like that big a factor. Like, it's not like the episode ends. It's like, oh, while all this shit is going down, there is also walkers just outside. And they could break in at any moment. No, it really keeps the tension just on the group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like the setting a lot. I kind of hope we stay here longer because we never stay in one place for too long.
I have a feeling we will because you can decorate your room with things you find.
Right.
Yeah, it would be weird if you left like the next episode after decorating.
Yeah, that's like a mechanic for one episode.
Yeah, I noticed that like there's some real reaches into like more mainstream AAA game development feel in this episode.
Yeah. I was saying to Summer too, it really felt different from the other, like you don't have the cursor anymore.
Yeah, the cursor doesn't exist anywhere.
You were saying it was kind of like The Last of Us, Dustin?
Kind of. I mean, I haven't played The Last of Us, but I was just saying, oh, I wonder if they're going for something kind of like a little more modern feeling than they used to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sure, it doesn't really play anything like The Last of Us, but it does. I think it carries some of that like very close camera over the shoulder vibes.
Exactly.
And like there's a combat system. It's not all QTEs. You can walk around sort of freely in a walker attack. And you can, like, kneecap someone or kill them, and really that's it. You just have the two buttons, but it is something. It, like, you choose your way how to deal with it.
Summer can attest to this. That really tripped me up at first, because I was expecting to, like, walk close to the walker, and then I will be put in a quick time event, and I can just get out of it that way.
Not the case.
I died like four times before I took out this first walker. I was like, what's going on? What is happening?
You lost your touch.
And I, you know.
You lost your touch, Dustin.
It's been a while.
Thank you, Summer.
Know?
That is what I was thinking. You lost your touch.
Yeah. You know, what else can I say? I don't have a defense.
Dustin, you used to be so good at this.
I used to be so cool.
You've changed.
What happened? This show really made me a worse person.
How about them segments we do?
Let's get to them segments. Let's spit that nasty stuff.
Yeah, so, Summer, thank you for coming on the show. As our gift to you, our parting gift, would you like to start the segments?
Absolutely.
Summer, how about your, golden moment?
Ooh, okay, golden moment. For me, I thought it would definitely have to be the walker fight in the dark. I just thought that was so With Brody. Yeah. Oh, Brody, yeah, I don't know. I liked that Walker fight. I liked that it was, you were fighting somebody that was in your group. I think that hasn't been done a whole lot in the Walking Dead series, at least not that I can think of. And
you usually take them out pretty fast, like Rebecca, like right. She's just like immediately dead.
Yeah, so yeah, I just appreciated getting to see her work through that so fast all of a sudden and be betrayed by Marlon so fast and have to just be quick on her feet, in the dark, mind you.
Yes.
And I just thought the part was really amazing when she is just about to get out and then she gets yanked back down the stairs. So just the whole Walker fight is my golden moment, but I thought it was really well done.
Yeah. I don't want to say that's like a jump scare, but I guess it kind of is. Like, she's like, oh yeah, I'm about to get out. And then just, she comes out of the dark and just pulls you back in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's, a lot of the game is a horror game. It's in the horror genre for sure. But for most of it, it's very action horror and like situational anxiety kind of stuff.
Not so much like you are in a scary, like the atmosphere is not like you're in a dark room and you can't see what's happening.
They don't always return to it very often, but like that fight with Brody's corpse is it's pretty genuinely scary and frightening. I was playing it at like 12:30 in the nighttime, 12:30, if you know how there's two 12:30s in the day.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
the dark one. And it was a little scrapey, a little frightening.
Did you got to turn the lights on?
Yeah. In fact, I even before that moment, like on Clementine's walk to the hatch that opens to the basement, I put in my notes like the wind going through these plants right now feels so like harsh and chilly and windy.
It's like I'm in a haunted house.
But you're outside at that point.
Yeah.
Inventing the first haunted anti-house.
The exact opposite of a house.
Yeah, it's never been scary outside before.
They're breaking new ground.
Yeah.
Will interject and say that was also my golden moment. I agree with everything Summer said. The fact that you're just fighting her in the dark... Have we had to do a scene like that before? Like, I know we're in, like, dark environments, but, like, you're in, like, a pitch dark basement. And you just have the, like, you need to find the flashlight, and you hear her starting to turn, mm-hmm. like, off screen. And you're like, what's going to happen? Where is she going to come out from?
In season one, there was that one, like, at a train stop where... Lee sends Clementine in because she's small and can fit to get something and then like sees that there is a walker on the other side of this thing. But it's a very different kind of moment.
Mm-hmm. Lee says it's right behind me, isn't it?
Well, Lee's not in danger. It's Clementine who's in danger.
No, because she's pointing to the walker coming in behind Lee.
Isn't there one in with her and he can't get to it until like.
Am I thinking of a different scene?
I think so.
Maybe I am, or wait, no, because the walkers come in the door behind Lee. Maybe there's both. Is there like both?
Yes, there's both.
Let's say there's both.
It's probably both. So that's both of yours.
Yeah.
Cool. Mine is not that. It is the, I think it's the Abel moment. It just feels good to have like, this is where AJ's training with Clementine kind of works. In the Marlon moment, it doesn't work.
Right.
But like we see a glimpse of like, oh, he can be pretty good at this if he wanted to be. So that was just nice to see. And also I liked the character design of Abel. I think rolling Bible paper cigarettes is such a funny thing. It's such a funny like badass Shadow the Hedgehog kind of behavior.
That's such a fuck you, we do what we want.
Yeah, totally.
It's like, whoa, this guy rules. I wish he was in our group.
Summer, how about your choice cut?
Oh, man.
Ooh.
Well, can you give me a little bit of clarification on what you're looking for on this? Dustin told me yesterday, but I just want to make sure that I know the parameters.
It's just like any choice you can make in the episode. It doesn't even have to be like one of the big ones at the end where they give you your percentages. It can just be like any time you have to make any sort of choice in the episode.
Yeah, and in fact, I'll go first in this time to establish the tone. And I'll say that my choice cut was when AJ wanted to sleep under the bed and you had to make the decision of like, do I let him do this because he thinks it's safer and it is probably safer, but like, I want him to know the comfort of a bed, and I want him to know he can relax here. So it really made me feel like a parent. It really made me feel like Spider-Man when I was trying to convince AJ to sleep in his bed. And I did decide to tell him, yeah, I think you should really give the bed another shot.
That's cool. That's another one that Summer and I kind of stopped and discussed a little bit before we made the choice.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to let him sleep under the bed.
Oh, okay.
Just because it's like, look, AJ thinks this is safer. I don't think there's any harm in letting him do it for like a night. If he thinks it's safe, we want him to feel like this place he's in is a safe place. So we just let him do it. And then later in the episode, the next night, he decides to sleep in the bed on his own.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what are your choice cuts?
Do you want me to go, Summer, or do you have one?
Sure, I have two. Can I give an honorable mention?
Sure.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, my honorable mention, which is the one I really wanted to say, but I realize it's not really serious, was whenever you can attack Marlin and you got killed immediately.
And we die?
Yeah.
That is the style of things we have chosen in the past, so that's okay.
Oh, yeah, we always make, like, we've done choice cuts that are stupid, ridiculous choices before.
Well, okay, that was the one I wrote down on my notes, but I think the choice of how you respond to Abel with the food is probably the right answer, just because I think it's cool me and Dustin have, and I guess Mitchell, you as well, I guess we all just have, actually, you and I are on the same page, but Dustin and I...
We all had different ideas.
Yeah, we all had different ideas about it, but Dustin and I disagreed pretty firmly, which I thought was interesting. So that's what I would put as my actual choice.
Yeah, but we had to pick one of them.
Yeah, it's nice to have you on the show because Dustin and I... we actually do pick a lot of the same things. And we're both quite Boy Scouts about it. We're really not.
Yeah, we're always the nice guys.
Yeah, we're never doing any mean stuff. We draw the line at mean stuff.
I will say, I was not nice to Marlin at the end of the episode. Like, you can really just be a real meanie head to this guy. there's a point where you can just choose to call him pathetic.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going for that. Because normally I like having my version of Clementine try to cling onto that last bit of nice humanity to her. But this guy killed Brody and is trying to frame you for it. That is not a person to be nice to. So he's like breaking down crying. And I just have Clementine just be like, you're pathetic. You absolute shit.
Love that. Well, speaking of... How about your weekly guy?
Oh, I didn't say my choice cut, Mr.
I Man. Thought your choice cut was... No, okay, sorry. That was Summer's second... I gotcha.
I threw you off, sorry.
Choice cut. You threw my... Summer, no, you threw me off my game.
You threw off my groove.
Threw off the Emperor's groove.
But my choice was whether to go hunting with Asim and Lewis or to go fishing with Violet and Brody. Partially just because I really liked that scene. I really liked conversing with both of them. They both really open up to you. They have a lot going on between them. Brody thinks Violet does not like her. She thinks she blames her for losing the twins. And Violet talks to you and she's like, yeah, I am kind of mad at her, but I guess I'm just kind of a mad person in general. So first of all, I liked that. But I just liked that if you did not choose that, if you chose to go on the hunting trip, I mean, I don't know since I didn't see it, but I assume you could get something just as good with those characters too.
Maybe.
Like, that's a lot of good character scenes you get from that choice. So yeah, I liked what results from the choice, and I like that I assume it would be possible to get even more out of it.
Yeah, that kind of stuff really makes me wish there was at least one of these games that was not episodic. Because if we just had like
just to go all the way through,
yeah, just to go all the way through, and maybe it wouldn't last as long as a full season put together, but maybe like 3 or 4 episodes put together, something that we could point to as fans of this formula and just say like, look at this, you could have had this whole big ass scene, maybe in a full game it could have even been like an hour long, that you didn't have to experience because you made a different choice. There really right. isn't anything like that on the market, and
I really wish they did that with the Expanse.
Yeah, I think we both wish really they did that with the Expanse.
Episodic.
The Expanse just should have been like, it was not paced to be episodic, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Weekly Guy.
Ooh, Weekly Guy. Summer, who's yours?
I'm going to bore you to tears and just say that I picked Clementine, which I know is...
It's legit, though.
Yeah, there's lots of times we just picked, like, the main protagonist, and Clementine's a very good one.
Yeah.
Dustin kept saying he liked Hector as a person.
I did not say that ever. you fuckhead. I would never say that.
No, that's true. We couldn't ever have picked Hector as our weekly guy, but...
That was tough to pick any weekly guys.
We did often say Bruce Wayne was our weekly guy, though.
Yeah. Sometimes they just knock it out of the park with the playable character.
Yeah, and I think it
was... Yeah, like, Bruce was a good one.
It was just refreshing to see her again, honestly, after so long, and just being such a fan of her for so long. So, yeah, I just appreciate seeing her in the role that she has with AJ and still just being a badass trying to survive and... just stand up for herself at the end was really strong. So I don't know. I just thought it was refreshing to see her again. And I thought that she, I don't know. I just really appreciate her as a character. So I pick Clementine as my weekly guy.
Good pick. One thing I like about Clementine is we kind of touched upon it earlier, but this is like the first time we see her in full parent mode. Because in season 2, you know, AJ's just born. So... everyone's kind of trying to, and Clementine has to step into that role. But then in season 3, they're separated the whole time. So this is really the first time we get an extended look at, oh, she has to be the parental figure in his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who did you pick, Mitchell?
I picked... Well, okay. Yeah, I'm torn as well. I've written down AJ.
Okay.
And I think it... I think that the way they've written AJ to be this, like, collection of different ages depending on what skill he's trying at that moment is really clever. And that's kind of where I'm coming from with that. Just a very well-written character there. But I am a little drawn to saying maybe Marlin. Like, the way he just breaks down out of anxiety near the end is...
You really buy it. It's not cartoonishly over the top.
Yeah, and he's a full villain. He's the main antagonist, it turns out. But, like...
Until he dies.
Until he... Well, yeah. but yeah, I think I do have to give it to AJ. He's just really, really strong in this episode. Although, third runner-up, I'll say...
I know who... Yeah.
Who do you think I was going to say?
Abel.
No.
Oh, really? When you were really singing his praises earlier, I was like, I think I know who the weekly guy is.
No, Abel's just a funny character design. I like it. But it's as a character, I actually have Brody because she sounds like the character Shrimpina from Smiling Friends.
Shrimpina?
I didn't clock that, but that's great.
Yeah, she just... she sounds like she's going to say, I love spaghetti.
I love spaghetti.
It's ever so delectable.
Yeah, she has that kind of southern drawl on her.
Yeah, that sort of unplaceable cartoon southern woman. Yeah, that's... It's good. It's a good voice.
It's It's funny, my feelings about Brody kind of varied wildly in this episode. Like, at first I'm very sympathetic for her when talking to her, but then she really flips her shit, like, for good reason, when Clementine tells the group about that guy.
Yeah.
She says something that really got on my nerves, which, I didn't want to hold against her. Everyone says shitty things, especially in situations like that. She says to Clementine, you don't know what people are capable of out there. And Clementine just looks her in the eye and says, think again.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, you want to try again with that? But then, like, right after, in that scene with her and Marlin, it just gets you right back on her side again. It's like, I didn't like when you said that thing, but I didn't want this to happen to you. Marlin, you didn't need to kill her on my account just because she said something a little rude to me.
Dustin, did you say your weekly guy was...
No. I just went with AJ.
Yeah.
I did feel like AJ is just very interesting. I am very interested in seeing where he ends up. And like you said, it's just really neat seeing, like, where are his skills at this age, just because of his environment, the world he's in. He needs to know things no one else his age should know, but it's made him like a very different kind of kid character.
Yeah, especially also considering that AJ, like, what he does in that final scene when he kills Marlin, everyone is horrified by it, but it's not really because he killed Marlin, because Marlin was effectively okay to die at that point.
Yeah.
It had been revealed what he did, and everyone was rightfully upset with him. Mm-hmm. It was just upsetting because everyone in the group was thinking, probably on the same page, but like, it's a bummer that Marlin died, but also... It's a bigger bummer that this kid is a killer.
This small child.
Yeah.
Just and he didn't even, like, have any issue. He didn't, like, seem upset that he did it at all, mm-hmm. either.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's probably a little
shell-shocked. Probably more upset that he's...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably more upset that he's going to get in trouble.
I would be like, pretty nervous, man, about how in trouble I'm going to get. Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, shit. Mom's going to take away the Game Boy.
Well, that's been the episode.
Yeah, good stuff. Very good start. I'm really looking forward to seeing where this final season goes.
Me too.
So, Summer, thank you so much for joining us. Do you have any final thoughts on the episode?
I did want to just say that it's kind of interesting with AJ and being a murderer now. Clementine in the first episode has to kill the guy that's threatening her and Lee, the guy with the bowling bag. And Clementine seems really broken up about it. So it's just kind of interesting to see how, when she was put in that position, how much differently she reacted to it than AJ. Just wanted to...
Yeah,
go back to that.
Yeah,
that's very... I'm really looking forward to seeing just, like, what is going on in this kid's head in this situation. Mm-hmm.
So, just really interesting stuff, seeing Clementine as a kid versus AJ as a kid has been just an interesting thing to compare from this episode, and just looking back at past seasons is just something I wanted to throw out there.
Totally. I didn't even think about that before, but now I'm really thinking about it.
Yeah, so. For sure. It's amazing, like, how fast we can really go to the whole next generation of parenting in a situation like this. We don't need to wait for an entire generation's worth of time. We're just on to the point where she's doing the next person's job. Well, thank you for coming on. Is there anything you'd like our listeners to do? You'd like to give them some homework?
No, nothing.
Okay.
Just enjoy.
That's nice of you.
Awesome.
Yeah, just enjoy the rest of the podcast that these guys put out, and enjoy The Walking Dead season 4. And I'm looking forward to playing it with my brother, just because we're Walking Dead buds. Ooh. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, totally. Thanks for joining us. We've been looking forward to it for a while.
Yeah. Okay, well, with that in mind, oh my God. I just realized what I have to say.
You gotta say it. You gotta say it.
Hey, Summer.
Hi.
Have a great summer.
Whoa. Never heard that one before.